Welcome to the Berkeley Saint Show, episode 263.
That's depressing, yes.
Felt fine before, but now.
Right. If you weren't depressed before, you are now.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, we've done 263 of these, or this is our 263rd. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Happy International IPA Day, everyone.
Woo! And Fozzie.
America.
And Jeff.
Woo!
I don't know. What should we start off with? Should we start off with Tony blowing people up in tanks, or
Well, we have 30 games to talk about besides
yes,
that.
Right. Each
probably
everyone.
Give the stage.
Yeah. Let's go ahead, Tony. Tell us about tanks.
I can't stop playing World of Tanks.
Is it? It's that good?
It's so good. And it's free. It was the perfect price. Free is the best price.
Free is a good price.
It's so good. I can hear it.
I'm playing right now and I'm dominating. Dominating.
Oh.
But I picked up, when it was on sale, I picked up Elder Scrolls online last week.
Uh-huh.
And then I got this other game. And I haven't actually played Elder Scrolls Online since. So basically, you start off, you have all these really low-level tanks, and they're all really terrible, and you pick one of them, and you take it into a match, and all the matches are like 15-on-15 multiplayer, and you just fight until... normally, there's an objective in the middle of the map or on the side or whatever, but normally, it just comes down to whichever side gets wiped out first loses. And when you do that, you get experience and you get silver. And as you get experience, you can like use that experience to research more tanks and more upgrades to the tanks that you have. And so it's just kind of leveling up to get through and getting better and better tanks so that you get more and more competitive as you go along. It's really addicting. The matches are really fun. There's always those moments when you're like waiting for your gunner to reload the round, while the other tank is doing the same thing and your guns are like facing each other and you can't fire yet. So there's this tension, and it's really entertaining. The one thing I will complain about is the load times are horrendous, absolutely horrific. It takes a long time to get into matches. But
is that a matchmaking issue, or is it just like the it takes a long time to load the maps in?
It takes a long time to load the map. I would say it takes like a good... The matches themselves are normally over in 5 or 6 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And you don't respawn, so if you get killed, you just kind of back
out
to your next match. The one cool thing is if you get killed, you can just go back to the garage, pick a different tank, and then get into a new game.
Okay.
So I have like a bunch of tanks in my garage now, so I just always have another one to hop into. So you're constantly playing, even though you're...
Like, even if you get out.
Yeah.
Is there a progression system in place? Like?
So there's 10 different tiers of tanks. So basically, you'll get your tank. You have to research that tank fully. And the last step of the research is researching a tank from the next tier.
Okay.
And then you hop up and buy that tank, and then... do it all over again.
Here's my problem, though. I think you informed me of this on Twitter, but there is no hover tank or flippy tank or Goliath.
These are all World War II tanks, and they are awesome. So
I need my flippy tank, though.
You need your flippy tank?
What is a flippy tank?
It can, like, kind of strafe by flipping on its side.
I don't know if that would work very well.
Or if you have a hard tank, you could totally like just drive over mines, no problem.
True.
Let's see. I thought it was battle tanks, and I was very...
No, it's not battle tanks. It's better than battle tanks. It's actually...
But it is a battle
tank. Yes, it is a tank battle. It's all World War II tanks. They're all unique. So when you get a new tank, you kind of spend some time figuring out how it works and what its like best attributes are, which is cool. Your crew also levels up as you play, so they get better at doing things like loading faster or repairing your track if it gets damaged.
Right.
It sounds violent.
It is very violent. And when you're in matches, like, stuff will happen to your tank. Your tanks have, like, pieces, so things will get damaged. Like, your loader can die, so you can't reload, or the driver will die. Or your tank, one of the things you can do is aim for a tank's track and knock it off, so it can't move. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in there like that, which is pretty cool. Makes the combat really realistic. But so much fun. I can't stop playing. It's so addictive.
I thought about downloading it actually before you even started talking about it, but I didn't just because I saw it was like 30 something gigs. I was like, hey. But now, with your endorsement, maybe.
Yeah, you should actually try to play
it. It's not like strategy game though, right?
No, it's like Call of Duty except with tanks.
I like Call of Duty, and I like tanks.
Yeah, I like both of those things.
I have it downloaded, I just haven't had a chance to play it yet, so. Because we've been playing other things.
We've been a little busy with the classics.
I like this guy.
Yes, the classics. Rare Replay is out. Some of them are classic.
All.
I don't know about that.
A lot of them.
A lot. I'll give you a lot.
I will say, not most collections that we've ever seen, like compilations, a lot of the games are kind of filler. I'd say this has a pretty good ratio to, like, good game to filler.
Yeah. I think most of their early stuff, like the ZX Spectrum stuff, is not so great outside of, like, Jetpack, which is fantastic.
That's a really fun game.
Yeah, Jetpack's great.
Does it ever end?
I don't know.
Because I got pretty far. I think I got an achievement for playing all the levels or something. And it kept going.
It might just be like one of those arcade games where there's 10 levels, but it just loops.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. And I would have never got that far anyways without the rewind feature that they added to the old games. Mm-hmm. It's the only way I got like as far as I did. And I was like, man, I think this might not actually end. You know, I'm like 20-something levels deep. I'm like, how far did they expect people to get without being able to rewind? That's a really cool feature, I think, that added to the old games that, you know, it's kind of like save stating or whatever.
Yeah, especially since some of those old games are really tough to play going back to if you don't have a frame of reference for what they are. Jetpack's pretty easy to get into. It's like a single screen. You build your spaceship and fuel it up and blast off while shooting things. But the rest of those, like Lunar Jetman and Attic Attack and the
Saber Wolf.
Oh my god, like that stuff is really difficult to go back to. Attic Attack is like some weird trippy, like, I don't know, you're like throwing a boomerang around and there's like weird horror shapes like witches and pumpkins and I don't know what's going on in that game. I don't get it. I just try and attack everything and there's a turkey on the side and that's your health bar and none of it makes any goddamn sense.
Yeah, turkeys. I love turkeys.
Yeah. And Saber Wolf, Underworld, and Nightlore are all part of the same series, and I can't tell you anything about them except that I am awful at them and can't figure them out.
Yeah, I think I tried one of them a little bit. It's like this weird isometric. I don't know. Is it like they're like adventure games or what? I don't know.
Yeah,
I couldn't deal with all the archaic shit in it. So.
And then I tried Gunfight or Gunfright or whatever it's called. I think it's Gunfight. And I just couldn't get into that either. I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
That tank?
No, actually, that was somebody in the parking lot.
The drive-by outside.
Yeah.
It's a cool car, man.
No, actually, we hate that.
But once you get past that that early like ZX Spectrum stuff, which is like 7 or 8 games, I guess, and you get into the NES stuff.
Oh yeah,
there's some good stuff there.
Fuck yeah, there is. Anything sticking out for you, Christopher?
Slalom, Cobra Triangle, and Digger T Rock.
I couldn't get that into the Digger T. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. So
it took me a while because, like, we don't have instruction manuals or anything, but I figured out, like, basically it's kind of like you dig through rocks and then there's enemies and you knock them down and you can climb up certain areas and you're trying to explore, get through the map to the next level. Kind of a Spelunky-ish.
It did. In a way. Even where, like, you would fall, like, it would take damage.
Yeah. I liked it. It was pretty cool. Anything from there that kind of stuck out for you, Jeff?
One that you mentioned, Cobra Triangle.
Yeah, I never played that game before. That game is nuts. It was a lot of fun.
It's basically like they're just taking the RC Pro-Am engine, I think. But instead of, you know, you're racing cars, you're in a boat on the water that turns into a helicopter at the end of the stage.
And they drop you into different scenarios. Like,
yes. There's some, like, variety to what you're gonna get out of levels. Like, one of them was like all these like people that are like swimming in the water, like you have to like protect them from fucking other boats that are trying to come and like kidnap them.
Yeah, I don't know, like they're taking them away though out of their circle.
So there's different things to do, or like there's a level where it's like hit all these ramps and try to like fucking grab like whatever's floating above all these ramps or whatever. I think that's maybe a bonus stage, I don't know, but yeah, like some variety to it. That's pretty fucking awesome game. And while we're on the subject, so is RC Pro-Am, I think.
Sure.
It's like precursor to fucking Mario Kart or, you know, car combat games.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's your pretty standard track racing game, and you're drifting around corners at high speed, and...
But you got, like, little boosts on the ground, you get weapon pickups, and... I don't know. I had a blast with both of those. And Slalom, I found to be surprisingly pretty fun, too.
It's fun. It's hard, but it's fun.
That's one, though, where the fucking rewind feature becomes key. Like, you just fucking fake your way through that whole goddamn game.
You hit a tree, just rewind.
Yep. All right, just go a little bit to the right. All right, cool. You know, so that's the difference. But I like that they give you that option, and I will abuse the fuck out of it.
Yeah. But... and you could probably cheese your way through Battletoads using that as well. Also, Battletoads sucks. Battletoads is not a good game.
I don't know. I haven't dug deep enough into it to say one way or another.
Battletoads NES is not good. Battletoads Arcade is fantastic.
Battletoads Arcade, me and the girlfriend played through the first night, and it was a spectacular hour of my life.
Yeah, Battletoads Arcade is great. It's not the same game as Battletoads... regular Battletoads, though.
No, not at all.
It's something else, and it's way more like fluid and visually, like you can see what's going on, and you know what you're attacking when you're attacking. It felt like a good old arcade game, like a good beat 'em up arcade game.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Ninja Turtles or like The Simpsons, something like that. But just, I think it's one of the better examples of those games.
Yeah.
There's some really cool, like the last stage. Was not a beat-em-up at all. You're just floating on this like ship, and it's like a shooter. So you got a little variety in that as well. That's one that, like, and it was really fun to just play through. Like, and anyone could get through it because it's just a quarter muncher, and there's no quarters there, so you keep hitting A to come back.
It just
you know,
keeps allowing you back in. Yeah.
So yeah, that is one of the highlights for me so far. Like for the whole package is Battletoads Arcade. I was not expecting to like that as much as I did.
Then kind of skip over the Super Nintendo era, but then there's the N64 era of Rare. And I've only played Killer Instinct Gold, which is utter garbage.
Yes.
And Conker's Bad Fur Day, which I'm having some issues with. I think the camera is garbage in that game.
This is where I need Fozzie. Fozzie, where are you?
I think there is a charm to it. The writing is spot on, but that game controls like garbage.
What, Conker?
Yeah.
Son of a...
Like, and I don't know if it's like the emulation onto the 360 pad.
I don't think so.
There's no way to invert the camera control.
Yeah,
so
the problem is that
I'm pressing right and it's going left, and I'm pressing left and it's going right. It's always confusing me. And it never seems to be at a good angle for what I want to be doing. But I'm playing it. I'm still working my way through it. I just beat the Haybot thing.
Yeah, okay. You're just getting started on your adventures. There's lots to come.
Yeah, I'm not a giant fan of the platforming in it. I don't think it's very good. But
was the Haybot the one in the barn?
Yeah, you fight him in the barn, and then it drops down to the bottom, and he becomes the Terminator. And...
Yeah, yeah. Come on, Terminator reference. You got to smile.
Look, I did. I thought, like, you hear the music, and, like, Conker and his pitchfork friend are like, that music doesn't sound good.
Listen,
yeah.
I don't like that music. And you're like,
yeah.
It kind of sounds like Terminator music. And, yeah, that battle was fun. Like, it was, like, the boss battles that I've come up against have been pretty cool. So
you are going to find a lot more movie references in there. Like, there's ones that, like, people don't even, like, talk about because maybe they didn't catch them or whatever, but, like, that's, like, the whole game is, like, movie references. It's fucking awesome. I don't know, man. Dude, it's an N64 game. They all had bad controls and cameras when you look back at them. Like...
I'm sure that, like, I'm going to touch up on some of these other N64 games and think the same thing, but...
The thing is, though, like, with, like, Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, they were redone for Xbox Live Arcade, and they fixed all that shit.
Mm.
So, and that's the one you're going to get to play on here, so you'll probably be like, man, Banjo's way better. I'm sure there's a lot of people who just think Banjo is way better no matter what, but...
Right.
You gotta stick with the Conker, man.
I will play through Conker. It's not been a wonderful experience.
Oh, you'll play through it.
I'm playing through it.
And I think I kind of told you this last week or something. Like, it changes as it goes along too.
You said it becomes more of a shooter.
It's just probably.
Yeah. Wait till you get to that Matrix level. Oh, mama.
It's cool.
He's talking about controls.
That's the thing, though. It's like, I don't know, shooter controls and.
Oh, it's crisp.
Go together.
It's crisp.
It's I will say the writing is really, even like now, even though it's dated, it's sharp. Like, it's very well done.
Oh yeah.
It's very funny. Like, I think the premise is fucking absurd. The you have that professor guy who's working for, I guess, like the big bad and the king dude, and the king is like angry because his milk is falling off the table because it doesn't have a leg.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing is just like he sends him on this mission to fix this goddamn leg, and he's
like,
coming up
stronger,
with experiments.
Right?
Yeah, it's so crazy. But it's fun. It's even with the issues, like, there's definitely a charm to it.
In the N64 games, I finally got to play Blast Corps for the first time. Never played it before.
So
oh my god, seriously?
I remember a friend in college had it, and he talked about how amazing it was, but somehow I missed the Blast Corps boat. It's fun!
Yeah.
It's really basic, you just destroy shit, but, like, how is that, you know, that's the most fun.
But back then, that was, like, and you have to think about at that time.
It's probably pretty impressive.
It was something new. I mean, it's like before, like, Mercenaries and things like that, where just, yeah, you didn't, there's,
well, the whole, you don't really see things like that now. Like, yeah, there's games where you can destroy shit, but, like, that's the point of the whole game, is just go destroy all these buildings so this fucking truck can drive through them or whatever. I don't know, it's fucking, like, basically, most of the levels are, like, there's, like, this giant, like, fucking truck driving through the level, and you have to, like, clear the way for it using your vehicle. So you go around, you know, whatever, a bulldozer or a fucking robot suit or whatever, and destroy buildings. That's it. That's the game. Like, there's little, like, they do little variants of that, but that's basically it. You just get different types of vehicles to cause mayhem with. And it's just really fun, like, simple fucking... kind of arcade style game for the N64. Been having a lot of fun with that, actually.
Yeah, I gotta try out Blast Corps, Jet Force Gemini, and Grab by the Ghoulies.
I have not, yeah. I've been interested to try Grab by the Ghoulies. Like, I kinda know what I'm getting into, but it's one that I never got to play before.
I heard that one probably looks the best out of all of them. I think they went back and redid some of the artwork for it to make it work on the Xbox One.
Yeah, they, like, so, up-resed it and everything. Like, yeah. It's the only game that got any sort of real upgrade from that era on. like in term for this package, like they actually did work on Grab by the Ghoulies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like the 360 games, like Cameo, Perfect Dark Zero, that's literally just a digital copy of the 360 game, backwards compatible. And it's you can launch it from the wrapper, but I think you can launch it outside of that too. They show up as games.
They show up in your apps, games, yeah.
And the way it works in Rare Replay is, like they don't have, I guess, really, like the way you get your stamps. I can't think of what they're called. But
milestones.
Like they don't have specific milestones for doing specific things in those games. It's all related to your gamer score. So, like getting points in Cameo translates to stamps in Rare Replay. And if you already have them, you get a stamp already.
You know, it's weird, though. Like, take for instance, this happened to me with a couple games today. Perfect Dark, when I booted it up, at first it said I achieved 5.10 milestones. I had done, like, 83% to get the sixth one. I played it for a little bit with my friend, and I backed out and said I had 0%. Like, something's wonky there. Like, it's saying that I've done nothing in the game now.
Really?
Yeah.
But it didn't give you any of the stamps either, or did? Because did you hit the what is it, the hamburger button or whatever the one is that brings it up?
Just looking at the menu, everything went from like you had done a shit ton in this game to zero, and I did that for several 360 games for me today. Like it was like
weird.
Nothing is there. Hopefully I'll turn it back on. It'll be back. But
were you connected to live at the time? Cause
it did say something about that. But I was connected to live.
Yeah, that's weird.
So,
I don't know. I think it's a really good package, though.
Yeah, and out of this era, like, I think, like, everyone's like, oh, Rare's best days are behind them. Maybe they are, but, like, dude, in the 360 area, like, the Viva Pinata games, I think, are the best stuff they've done. Honestly, like, those games are infinitely.
Yeah, they're great.
Beautiful and beautiful music. Like, I think people wrote Rare off. Like, after Grab by the Ghoulies, honestly. And, yeah, Cameo and Perfect Dark, not great, but Viva Pinata was fantastic. And then Microsoft just assigned them the different shit, like...
Well, I think you look at... You go back and, like, Perfect Dark was, you know, should have been one of their big hits, and it did not do well on 360, because it wasn't a good game.
But both it and Cameo were rushed for launch.
Yeah. Like they weren't good, because they were... I heard Cameo was actually pretty good, though.
Yeah, I'll be interested to play through it. I've tried it out before. It seemed fun.
And then you got Viva Pinata, which didn't sell well, but Microsoft kept pushing it. They had that TV show. And,
yeah.
And then Trouble in Paradise sold even less. And then they did Banjo Nuts and Bolts, which was a good game, but I guess not what people wanted. At that point, what does Microsoft do? Like, they have to make money off of these people, so...
Right, they could fire them all.
they put them on to Kinect Sports, which was their best selling game. Like, so
yeah, I guess if you're looking at it just from financially and the business, okay, whatever. But
right,
like if you watch the making, like that's another thing we have to talk about. This package is the making of shit.
Yeah.
But if you watch the making of Viva Pinata, like one of the guys is like, you know what, it didn't do great at the time, but I think there's a better market for this type of game now. Like these weird, quirky games are. You know, they have a place in the marketplace now. Like they
do, but do they have a place at the in the marketplace at what like a Rare game generally would get for a budget?
Right, it's an indie game thing right now.
But the thing
if you can make it with a small team, great. But if you're like looking at like a AAA budget, you can't do that stuff anymore. It doesn't work.
But Rare, like with Viva Pinata, like. Those games have great production values, but I seem to remember when they came out, they were $40 games. And I would gladly buy another $40 Viva Pinata game. I don't know what their budget would have to be to make it right, but I don't think they...
Kickstarter!
Fuck yeah. I'm in. I'm in for fucking Viva Pinata, dude.
Is that Viva Pinata for president?
Absolutely.
I mean, we'll see what happens with Sea of Thieves. Like, Microsoft kind of gave them open ring to do something weird with that, so
I feel like I should be getting a Sea of Thieves beta for buying this game. Just saying.
Sea of Thieves again?
It's like their weird pirate MMO adventure game.
Oh yeah.
With that rare art style, like it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It. I mean, I hope it's really good. I don't know. I like it. I like Rare Replay a lot. Did you do any of the snapshots?
No, I haven't done that yet. But
yeah, so I did all the jetpack ones. That stuff's really fun though, and it makes some of that older shit playable.
Yeah, it's kind of doing like an NES remix type thing with them, right?
Yeah,
like,
it gives you a objective and a time limit, and like you like so lunar jetman or whatever, it has you going through, and the first snapshot has you like trying to get 3,000 points with just your buggy, shooting things down with that in 60 seconds. Some of the other ones, like I can't think of the night game though, where you turn into a werewolf. It wants you to like visit 6 different locations in the castle, and it's pretty cool. The jetpack ones though were a lot of fun, and because I actually enjoy that game, I played through all 5 of them. So.
Yeah, I've been meaning to check them out. I'm still kind of just digging it. Like, there's so much like I haven't touched yet. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's gonna take a long time to like get through like a lot of this stuff. I do wish they had snapshots for the older games, though. They kind of stop at the arcade era.
Yeah.
There's nothing for the N64 games or the 360 games.
It is kind of a weird divided package where there's features for one side of it and not the other. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. And it's like, I wonder if it's, you know, those other games have more meat to them, so maybe they felt they didn't need to add stuff there, but... And in a lot of cases, even with the weird camera controls and clunkiness of Conker, like, those games are still generally better than some of the older stuff. Especially that early older stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
But the other thing I did want to touch on though is the like the documentary stuff. It's one just awesome that they put like the amount of effort they put in this package overall. Really appreciate it. But like all compilations. I think like every game that comes out should have like a making of documentary, like extras. Like when you buy a DVD, there's some fucking behind the scenes extras for you to watch. You know, if you're really into it.
Yeah.
But I also like, too, the documentaries of this are the only things that are kind of locked away, but they kind of force you to dig through the games a little bit to watch a little bit more.
Yeah, it's not to the point where it's going to...
It's not bad.
Right, it's like, to get all the documentary stuff, you just really have to play the games, and you should be able to get enough stamps to unlock that stuff.
Yeah.
It's to get, like, the other stuff, like some of the art, the concept artwork and the soundtrack stuff that like you really need to up your level to get that stuff, but to get all the documentary stuff, it seems pretty easy.
Are the achievements like per game, or it's just like, hey, here's 500 like achievements. Is it broken down per game?
Some of them. So there's 4,000 just for Rare Replay by itself. So they kind of advertise it as 10,000 points, which isn't exactly true. There's 4,000 for Rare Replay, and then they're for the other 360 games.
They're like existing achievements.
There's like another 6,000 points they get bundled with that. So for a total of 10,000, if you haven't played those 360 games before.
Ooh, I see.
Yeah, you might have.
I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's probably a lot in there that we haven't gotten achievements for. So, but yeah, there are Conker specific ones. Like if you're playing Conker, like when I died, I got an achievement for meeting death.
Don't you get one like every time you start a new game?
Well, for each of the games, there's a 15 point achievement for each of the 21 games that are on the disc.
Almost 300.
Yeah, over 300 points just from starting a game.
Yeah.
There's like achievements for playing all the Saber Wolf games or playing all the Jetpack games or playing all the Battletoads games, like both of them. If you play both of them, there's an achievement for that. So yeah, there's like all sorts of weird achievements. There's achievements for the snapshots. There's achievements for the levels you make. Like, and it's nuts. It's an achievement. It's an achievement galore.
I do like achievements. They're delicious.
And just about every achievement is also a stamp. So each stamp you get adds to opening up that stuff that Jeff was talking about, the documentary stuff and behind the scenes stuff. So it's really cool. It's a really cool package. Yeah. And it's only $30. So
yeah, it's,
you can't go wrong with it.
It's an incredible value.
I'll be playing more of it. Anybody played anything else?
Dude, I'm pretty much stuck on this for a while. I'm stuck on this till like Until Dawn. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's in like...
Guys, I'm getting my PS4 back on Saturday.
And honestly, once I burn through that, I'll be going back to like Banjo or something. Like, I'm gonna be stuck on this till probably Tony Hawk, honestly.
I played something.
Yeah.
I played Elder Scrolls Online.
I thought you stopped playing it.
Well, yeah, but I played it last week and I wasn't on the show.
Oh, that's right.
That's true.
So, what
do you think of Elder Scrolls Online there?
It's like if you took Skyrim and you like removed like 90% of the stuff in the world and you added in other people to play with you.
Oh. That doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound appealing.
No. If you kept all the stuff in Skyrim and added other people, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't played any player versus player stuff, but the quests all feel really empty. Like, you run through them really quickly.
They're dull,
and there's nothing like getting through this big quest line and ending up with the boss fight, and you get to the boss, and the boss is already surrounded by 9 people, spawns, and instantly dies. Why am I even here? This game plays itself. I'm just spending time.
That's how I play Dark Souls.
Don swears that once you get to level 10, you can get into the dungeons and play with other people, it gets a lot more fun. So
dungeons are fun. You talking about, yeah.
So once I get sick of World of Tanks, then I'm going to hop back on with Don and see if we can get through some of this Elder Scrolls Online stuff. But right now, I don't find it very appealing.
All right, so I'm not going to click go on that Amazon order.
I'm surprised. What made you decide to buy it?
I was bored. It was on sale. I love Elder Scrolls. And I'd never played an MMO before, so why not?
Yeah,
see what happens. It plays, I mean, to be fair, it plays a lot like an Elder Scrolls game. So if you like the stuff like leveling your character up and you learn by doing still, so if you want to get better at destruction spells, you just cast destruction spells. And that kind of stuff is still in there.
Right. It feels like an Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, but totally. But
doesn't have the depth of one.
Right. You can't get obsessed with the world, which I think is the best part about Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's nothing, like, you go out exploring, and there's nothing to, like, pick up off the ground. There's no, like, random house you can wander into and see cool stuff.
No, there's Beer Bong 73 running around.
Right. And that kind of kills it.
I know Sean swears by it. He loves Elder Scrolls Online.
Two Worlds 2.
I mean, maybe if you get farther, maybe the dungeons are great.
Sean's goddamn.
And the other part is the player versus player, which I haven't tried either. Might be interesting.
Okay.
Maybe. But, I mean, this is all, like, this thing I haven't touched might be good, which makes me feel bad. Like, I'm against that. Like, I feel like when I'm playing a game, I should be having fun. I shouldn't be, like, earning the fun later on.
True.
Which is how I feel about it right now.
Alright, well, report back to us on that. I'd be interested to see if it does get better. If maybe I just missed something when I played the beta. And
you just have to put 30 hours in, and then it becomes good.
See, that's just it. How much?
Yeah, dude, it gets good after, you know, a whole other game's worth of playing. So
So it's Destiny.
You got time for that. Don't worry about it.
Destiny, yeah.
Destiny
Final
doesn't
Fantasy
get good.
13,
it's the ultimate troll.
That's the thing. You're right, Fozzie. Like, Destiny just keeps going, we're gonna get good. And I keep falling for it.
I just love that people are just like, oh my god, I hate Destiny. Why does it do this to me after all? You're still going to play.
Yep.
Down, slowly walk away.
Yep, they came out this week and basically slapped anybody that played the game for the last year in face. And Dub and I were like, that sucks.
Dub is like, he's like the stereotype, like when I think Destiny player, like, he's a stereotypical guy. Like, he is the Destiny player.
The thing is, he's always posting videos of him playing.
Always.
Like, that
he's
looks like so much
it.
Fun, and you're doing a great job, and I wish I could play it, but no, I played Destiny, and it wasn't fun.
I heard that they retroactively removed Peter Dinklage from the game.
Yes.
Like, completely?
Yes. I don't think they've done it yet, but they're in the process.
It'll be in the patch for the Taken King. When that launches, what's his name?
Nolan North.
Nathan Drake is going to take
Nathan Drake getting away from a spy or
at some point we're
going to
get like he's going to do every voice in every game.
Yeah.
Like I think we're approaching.
Is he available? Fuck it, let's get him.
I think there's probably two things that happened here. One is Dinklage was not very good in Destiny. And the other is he probably did not want to come back and record more lines for more Destiny.
Right.
So
yeah.
Getting Nolan North was probably a cheaper alternative. So it'll be a shame though because the Dinklebot will no longer exist.
Oh. We'll always have memories.
That was just a weird pairing of the two.
Yeah.
I just think it's amazing that they could go back and like change. Like, rewrite history, basically, with this, where, like, they're going to have them redo all the stuff for...
Yeah, so, like, any...
already played.
Oh, they're, like, eliminating him from everything.
Yes,
from, like,
yeah, like,
you're
going back...
New, after this patch comes out, you're not going to have him in the game. It's going to be...
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
You'll go back... Like, if you go back and play the... Like, the first... Like, even if you start a new character, it won't be Dinklage talking to you anymore. It'll be Nolan North. That's so weird.
It's kind of cool. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. Any other games going on?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Games?
Yeah, games. What? Anybody play any other games? No?
When does Madden come out?
It's the 25th. Everything comes out on the 25th, Tony.
Yeah, I think, though, like, I can play Madden before the 25th. Because
the 20th. You can play it on the 20th, yeah.
Hopefully they do a better job than they did with golf. Way to go, EA.
Well, the last Madden was really good. Was so I can play Madden 2 weeks from today.
I'm never buying another one of their fucking games.
Yes,
again.
On the 20th, yes.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm playing Madden that day. Because Madden's already really good.
I give a damn. Make golf right.
Yeah, but dude, you have to understand that's the first, like...
That's not an excuse. I'm done
with
that.
It is an excuse. That's your fault for being dumb and not realizing that.
I'm done with it.
Yeah, I did that.
Sneakers off to make this game. I know.
Listen,
any first year sport game is always
going to be bad. Always.
I did that last year with NHL, and NHL
it
sucked.
It just is.
Why are we accepting that standard?
No, it's terrible.
No one's accepting it. You're accepting it by buying it. You bought it. You accepted it.
I bought the Madden on the old console. I didn't buy the new Madden.
I'm saying, though, why is it like...
That was a good call, because Madden 25 was terrible.
If no one bought it, obviously they would pay more attention to it. But
I know, but why are we saying it? That's what happens with every first sports game. It's like, dude, you should never lose features. I don't care if it's a generational jump. I get, you have to build a lot from scratch. But
here's the spoiler about sports games is they put in a new feature that you haven't played in a few years, but it was there all along. Like, remember, I remember for college football, they used to have, like, crowd atmosphere and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They'll bring that back. The rumble stick went away, or the hit stick, or whatever. Like, all this shit. It just cycles through, and people go ape shit when it happens again. So that's the con.
But if you don't have EA access, everything else comes out on August 25th. That's crazy. I think it's Until Dawn, Gears of War, Madden. Dishonored Definitive Edition. There might be like a couple other games that come out that day too.
I'm not paying $40 for that.
For
Dishonored.
I already bought it once.
I'm not buying it.
I haven't even really finished it, which is.
If you have it on the 360, and I think it was Games with Gold. You get it for $20.
That's not.
On the Xbox One.
How will it know? Does it have to be digital?
Yeah, if you have it digitally. Evidently, retailers are doing some sort of special for that. The thing I saw on Bethesda's site was like you should contact your retailer that you want to buy it from and see if they're running any sort of deal.
I say. Because I still haven't played that. Like, I played like 2 hours of it.
It's a good game. Too.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I hear the stealth is really good, which excites me. Because I like stealth.
A stealth can be really good, and then if you suck at stealth like me, you can just kill everyone.
Right.
And that's fun, too. Yeah. Let's do some news. EA announced that Star Wars Battlefront is going to have a Fighter Squadron mode.
What?
That trailer looked really awesome, actually.
Yeah, so, like, X-Wings, TIE Fighters, other, like, big starships, like the Falcon and stuff, and, like, a dogfight mode specifically for air combat, so.
I was ambivalent before, and now I'm, like, I have to buy it.
It looks really fun. It's not, you know, it's not the TIE Fighter game I want or the X-Wing game I want, but it'll have to do. That game looks really good, though. Every time they show more of it, it seems to be getting better.
Oh, I can't wait for that. That's going to be one of my spade games.
It's going to be a rough fall. There's a lot of games coming out.
Rough, yeah. But in a good way.
Rough, yeah, not like.
Sometimes rough I like it rough. In...
What?
I bet you do.
this may sadden Fozzie here.
Oh.
Final Fantasy 15 may be launching next year, but Square Enix then said maybe not. Maybe it's launching the year
what
after.
Is... Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm gonna butcher the director's name here, Hajime Tabata. He said that it's gonna be before 2017, but then Square Enix came out and corrected him and said, no.
So. That game is going to be like easily one of their biggest flops ever. I mean, when you think about it, like 13, like. We're excited for 13. This one, they're like, no, this won't be good.
It's something different, that's for sure.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's some weird open world monster hunting game.
But
like,
is it open world or is it like closed off segments that you drive to each point?
It's,
like
it's Final Fantasy open world. so there's corridors between everything.
Right.
Great.
Sure.
I don't know, I have not played the demo yet. I should probably do that.
I mean, but, like, are there going to be, like, big cities? Are there going to be, like, anything like that? Or are you just literally on a road and you're just driving and you're, like, world map is up? I don't know.
Yeah, this could be a nightmare.
Could be. The only good thing about it right now is that the music that's coming out of it is phenomenal. Like, incredibly well composed. But yeah, I have absolutely no faith that this game's going to be good whatsoever. It's still going to be one of my favorite games.
I'm just thinking, like, if this does not come out next year, like, we're looking at, like, a Duke Nukem Forever type game going on here. Because this is really Final Fantasy versus 13. Like, that's what this game has turned was before it became Final Fantasy 15. So it's been in development for almost a whole decade.
A century.
That's That's scary. Like, there's has to be a ton of money invested in this, and I don't know if it's gonna do very well. But we'll see, I guess. Gamescom happened.
It did, and Microsoft looked awesome.
Yes, it did. Any highlights you guys saw out of there?
Quantum Break looks really good. I was expecting a generic third-person shooter game.
It's coming out, too.
Yeah.
April.
And
not that far away.
It looked really, really good.
Yeah, I like the time mechanic that they have going on there.
Yeah, they implemented it really well, and they implemented it in a way where it wasn't like... It didn't supplement the third-person combat. It, like, defined it.
Yes.
Is how it looked.
What are you going to say, Fozzie?
I lost my train of thought. But...
I have not seen the gameplay of it, actually, but all I caught is the news that's coming out.
The whole thing sounds really interesting, too, because, I mean, the gameplay looked really, like, the shooting gameplay and the way the time mechanic works, but the way they're integrating the television show into it, it sounds like you'll finish a segment of the game, and then there'll be, like, an episode of the show to watch. And the game will focus on the hero of the story, or the heroes, and the show is going to focus more on the villains. So, it's like this nice give and take, I guess, between the two. It's certainly fascinating, so... And different. We'll see. Could be really cool. They got some pretty big guys that are going to be in that, so...
So the Xbox conference was the best... Like, should I watch that? Is that worth it, or should I watch the highlights?
Oh, no, you should watch it. You should watch it.
Yeah?
It's definitely worth watching.
So much to do, so little time.
Yeah. They had some other cool stuff going on there, too. Like Cities Skylines coming to Xbox One.
Yeah, like city building games on consoles. Never really been a big fan of them.
You should definitely play it. It's very good.
Oh no! I have.
And for somebody like Jeff, who like he can't play it on PC.
Yeah.
He doesn't have one. Like that's a way for him to try and get a go at it.
Yeah, but just check it out.
Should we give it to these casuals though? I mean, should we?
Hey.
games.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited for it coming there.
It's going to be early access, like one of those early access games.
Is it? I didn't catch that piece.
It always feels like whenever they port like a PC game, it always starts out early. Like Ark, for example, is coming to Xbox.
Right, that's coming to early access, and so is I can't think of it. It's by The Compulsion is the name of the developer.
The Escapist or whatever. Is that what you're thinking?
I think they changed the name of it to We Small Few or We Happy Few.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about the BioShock game essentially.
Yeah, it looks kind of like BioShocky. So that's coming to early access at some point too.
Scalebound.
That looks like a game.
It did.
You guys aren't excited for that, right?
Wow.
It looked good. It looked like something I might enjoy, but I don't know. I don't know. It looked also like it might be.
I don't know. It's something.
Wow.
Tony, you like Platinum games, though, right? Like, you like Bayonetta. Yeah. So I think if you're into that, like, this probably has that level of control and combat. So... That could be pretty cool. I have never been a huge Platinum guy, but the concept looks cool.
Bayonetta 2, bro.
Well, damn, that should have been an Xbox One game.
One day it will be, and you'll be like, Jeff, you were so right. That game was amazing.
I mean, I don't deny that it's amazing. I'm just not buying a console just to play Bayonetta 2.
It's so fun.
Nothing is that much fun.
Crackdown.
Crackdown.
That's a game.
That is a game.
That world looked really empty. Like, they were showing it off, I'm like...
So, it looked like Crackdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at Crackdown, except with the destruction mechanic, looks like it was ripped straight from a Scream Ride, but that destruction mechanic was pretty cool in Scream Ride.
Yes.
So they were showing like buildings just toppling over and knocking into each other, knocking down more buildings. Like, I don't know how that would actually work in the context of that game though, because in like the single player, you're gonna have orbs placed in certain locations, like on buildings. So you're gonna need those buildings there to reach those orbs. So I'm just wondering if like after you destroy it, if after a certain amount of time, those buildings just get re-erected. And...
Yeah, probably.
It looked like Crackdown, so if they get that right, like I'll probably be on board for it.
Never got into it. I tried.
I love open world games. I've never played Crackdown.
It seems like to me like something I should love. Like I like open world games, and it has like that platforming element to it, like where there's like shit to collect everywhere. But
yeah,
I don't know.
It does.
Couldn't do it.
The agility orbs are great.
And just the like the how big like how high your guy jumps is pretty awesome. It's just
it's all related to how many agility orbs you get too. Like you can make him jump higher by collecting more green orbs.
See, and like on paper, it's something I should love. Like just based on everything we just said, but. I don't know. Just can't do it.
I really liked the first one. I thought the second one kind of sucked. But let's see. What else was there?
Just Cause.
Just Cause 3 was
just
there.
Just Cause
3
looked really good.
Yep. You get Just Cause 2, though, which is a known factor that it's awesome.
And, yeah.
Very
and
known
that, factor. That's the other thing is that I guess before, they didn't announce this at their conference, but... Gears of War Ultimate Edition will come with the entire Gears collection on Xbox One.
Eventually.
At some point between when you buy it and... If you play it between August 25th and December 31st, you will get all four of those games.
Yeah.
And Gears 1 is... I have played it on Xbox One, and it plays really well. That backwards compatibility stuff is pretty good. I thought that was pretty cool. That like that's how they're going to be bundling this stuff is, hey, buy our new game. We're going to give you some old games too.
I'm cool with that.
I like free shit.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, it helps.
Mass Effect collection.
That would be nice if they could get that. I guess the problem they're having right
with
now is multi-disc games. They're having problems with multi-disc games right
really?
Now.
How about
so.
Do a pop like a proper like remaster of it though? Like put it all on one Blu-ray. Like,
I would be on board.
Touch
with that
it up
too.
A little bit.
Like yeah, up-res it, and I would be on board for that as well.
All the DLCs.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I guess it could use a fresh coat of paint, but I would just like. I mean, obviously this would never happen, but. Trolling the first one like the second, third one played. You know, get rid of the RPG elements kind of, and I mean, the RPG elements were nice, but I don't know. Felt that the second, third one controlled really good.
Oh, you mean like touching up the controls for the original?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I love the first one, and that would make it even better.
Yeah, I'd like to see us get all the Mass Effect games available to play, though, on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't.
I guess Microsoft also announced the list of publishers that are on board for backwards compatibility, and it seems like every major publisher, and even many of the smaller ones, are on board except for Activision.
That was a very interesting... absence. I mean,
yeah, Activision is not.
Oh, Call of Duty Collection coming to you this March.
I would not be surprised.
You know what I'm saying? Cashing on that Call of Duty 4 nostalgia, bitch.
Right before it's all gone.
Yeah, exactly. This is your last fucking. Yeah, this is your fucking death rattle.
Is anybody like excited for Black Ops 3? Like
I was gonna buy it. Like here's the thing: after coming out of Advanced Warfare, I was like, this series can be fun. So
I thought Advanced Warfare was really good.
Yeah, but like, One, the presentation at E3 just made it look brown and boring and just back to bullshit. And the time, like, just November is so strong this year that I was like, nah. If I'm going to pick up any shooter, which I'm not even sure I am, it's going to be Star Wars.
And Halo.
Oh, yeah, well, Halo, yeah. It's a little before the storm of Lara Croft and fucking
Very, Fallout. 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
It's not that. Like, I wish Halo was launching in September like it used to.
It should, right? Yeah, like the traditional time frame.
Yeah, Microsoft doesn't really have anything in September, do they? Or is that when Forza launches? Maybe that's when Forza launches.
Do it this month. Fuck.
I would be okay with that.
It's always in this time frame. Like, it's always early, like, way before the big fall games.
Did anybody see the very pretty Halo 5 Xbox One console?
Yes. That looks nice.
Wow,
it is. It's $500 though, and I already have an Xbox.
Yeah, I've had one for years.
One that I paid $500 for, unfortunately.
That's gotcha. Yes. Of course, mine did come with the Kinect, which I use all the time. So.
Yep, I have one. It's there.
You don't use it.
It watches me. No, I use it for recording shit. That's about it.
And this one is straight up for Tony. Creative Assembly. His boys making Halo Wars 2.
Yeah.
You like Halo Wars?
Yeah. I like the Halo's Halo Wars.
I heard it's good. I always heard it was a good game.
It is, yeah. It's an RTS on a console done right.
The problem is, though, that takes him away from making an Alien Isolation 2.
Not necessarily. I bet you Halo Wars sells better than Alien Isolation did.
True.
Alien Isolation sold well.
It did okay, didn't it? Yeah.
It did. Over 1 million copies.
I think that is like one of the first underrated gems of this generation, in my opinion. People like really fucking shit on that game, and it was better than they said.
I'm excited for Halo Wars.
Yeah, I'll play that. I watching the preview, I had no idea what they were about to announce, too. For some reason, I'm like, what is this? I thought it would be... What's the game that was like the companion to Halo 3?
ODST 2?
ODST, that's what I was expecting. But
that'd be cool.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
No. I'd play it.
Not what they announced.
No, that kind of came out of nowhere, too, because like Halo Wars has been... It's been years.
Right. What, 2008?
Yeah. And, I mean, the studio that made that ensemble...
No longer exists.
They're gone, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, getting Creative Assembly to do it, though, it's a smart call. They know how to make strategy games.
They do. And then I'm going to debate a console game, too, so...
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm on board. Well, this one's for Fozzie here.
Hi.
Wrote this down. Elite Dangerous is getting ground landings this fall.
Yay.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I guess you'll be able to land your ship on the planet and explore it. That sounds a lot to me like No Man's Sky.
Right.
So is Elite Dangerous just No Man's Sky before No Man's Sky comes
gotcha.
Out?
Gotcha.
And is No Man's Sky ever going to actually come out? Like,
no.
Coming out? I keep hearing more about it, and no indication of when it's actually coming out.
And no one tells you about what exactly the hell you're doing in there either.
Right. So I'm assuming that game will be the most disappointing game of all time.
It's got hype.
Potential.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are obsessed with it already. Like.
Yes.
Yeah, saying like, it's the only game they'll ever play again, like that's a little.
I don't think that people understand that there's nothing to do in that game. It was like with Elite Dangerous. I have to be perfectly honest. I have not played that game probably a month or so. I don't regret getting the super expensive like system that I use, like the because I will be using that for like Eve Valkyrie and stuff, but. Yeah, Elite Dangerous doesn't really know how to pace itself at all. I've hit a point where, like, I either stay with the ship I have now, or I grind another, like, 200 or 300 hours to get to the next, like, tier of ship.
That's what really, like, scares me away from it.
And I, honest to God, I'm not even kidding when it's that much to, like, get to that next tier. So, it's like, no?
Right, like that means you pretty much have to give up playing anything else.
That becomes your game. And on top of that, it's not like I'm going around doing, like, fun missions. It's just I go to an extraction site and I wait for these high credit, like, bounties to happen. There are, like, cool elements where there are missions where you have to go around looking for, bounties and stuff. But problem with that, and the cool thing is, like, you can go and you'll know kind of where to find them and stuff, and you'll talk with other ships who have details about it. And that feels great because it kind of reminds me of, like, a Cowboy Bebop type game where, like, you're just a bounty hunter just searching everywhere for these bounties. But the problem is that the bounties are, like, 100,000 in credits. And I can make that playing, like, 15 minutes at these extraction sites. So, like, the justification, if I'm just trying to get money, like, massive amounts of money, it's just not there. They did not know how to make the game fun after, like, 20 to 30 hours. There's nothing to do. It's just, all I do in the game now is I sit in this place with asteroids, I wait for these high-level bounties to come in, and I kill them. Sometimes after, or they'll show up like a minute later and there's like 5 to 10 of them. But, yeah. I mean, like, Star Citizen's coming out, Eve Valkyrie's coming out, so, you know, those games actually look like there's going to be a lot more kind of fighting elements and.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot more to do.
I'm hoping Star Citizen really, like, gets it together and comes out and is what I want out of one of those games. Because what they're promising is everything I want, right? Like,
yeah.
But we'll see if they can actually
deliver
on it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and again, the thing I don't like about that game is everything's, like, behind a paywall, essentially.
Well, right now it is.
Oh, okay. So, like, I can, like, find credits or whatever in the game and buy better ships?
Yes.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, when that game launches, you'll be able to earn credits and buy ships.
Yeah, I guess the like, scary thing for me about that is I hope it doesn't come like MechWarrior Online, which I played a lot of, actually, the first couple months it came out. But then I started to realize, like, you could spend $80 on this mech, and that's how much it would cost to play with. But if you wanted to save up, it was, like, it was nearly impossible.
Right. I do want, like, they need to balance, Star Citizen needs to balance, like, if you want to play by yourself,
right?
Like, you should be able to make enough money to be able to play by yourself and get, like, sure, you're not going to be able to buy a capital ship right off the bat, but you should be able to progress gradually.
I mean, yeah, and exactly, and I think that was the problem with Elite Dangerous is that came to a point where, like, I just felt like there's no hope that I would ever get the next tier, because not only once you buy the ship, you have to put upgrades into it, which are at least 4 to 5 times as much as the ship costs. So, like,
right.
It's then you get the new ship, and you're like, wait, my old ship was better because you already maxed out your old ship. So, what's the justification for me to switch at that point? Because then I would have to spend... I don't know. There's just a few things that kind of really make that game not fun, because it's almost like too hardcore, you know? There needs to be some sort of satisfaction as far as going out, getting missions, like ranking up in the factions. Like, there's these cool ideas implemented. I just don't feel like it was kind of correctly implemented, I guess.
All right, I guess there's one more thing we should touch on in news.
Oh,
Palmer Luckey appeared on the cover of Time.
Oh,
Oh God.
And it's something. It is the
Where are his shoes?
I don't even have words to.
Why did he agree to even that picture being taken?
Yes, thank you. Like this is the man kind of behind Oculus. Like his company was bought for $2 billion by Facebook, and he goes and he agrees to a Time article, and that is the photo that he lets them put on the cover.
Even if like he had like 100 million other like photos and they didn't even like talk to him as far as putting this one on there, it's like
I just looked it up.
I thought it was a joke. I swear to God, when I first saw him, like, this is a satire. This is fucking Time magazine. They're putting this joke on there. This is like there's first off, if you gave them permission, fuck everything. Secondly, even if so.
But he would have had to have, like, done the shot with them.
No, exactly. I mean, at first, yeah, I was like, wait, is this the shot?
About...
with the goddamn cord attached to his head.
In this magical land.
Everything about it, just like, it's a beach in the background that doesn't even have anything exciting going on, like...
It looks like a bad, like... Someone put a
Nothing is like invoking any sort of mystique. It just looks like this fucking 20-something-year-old virgin who's like in his room, fucking like laying out with some, you know, hot chick on a beach, and like, God, everything upsets me about this. Like everything does. Like surprising joy of virtual reality. Like no, shut. Toes. Everything about this is just really, really stupid. Like, it's seriously like I said in my tweet earlier, it's like millions of people are going to fucking look at this and be like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. This is why I'll never get into video games or give a shit about this, because of this one photo probably set us back like 5-10 years. Fucking 22-year-old yes. asshole decided to
yes,
be like,
it did. Yeah,
this is it. Because remember, like, virtual reality in the 90s? Like, it was a joke.
Fucking,
like,
no, we had Lawnmower Man. It was fucking serious business.
Right,
bro.
Okay, but, like, you remember you would go to, like, your local video game place and you pay $5 to be, like, fucking around, and you always look at the people and you're like, they look really stupid. Even though it looked pretty cool to you, but you'd be like, wow. Really dumb.
I look like a total idiot when I'm like supposedly
right.
swinging around a sword.
Right.
Or whatever.
But it looks great. But the thing is that when you're watching someone or when you're looking at it from your perspective, it looks really stupid because you're not seeing it.
It's not just the picture though. Evidently the article is pretty shitty.
I've heard that too.
Here's a clip from I guess Ben Kuchera wrote an article on Polygon, and here's a clip from the article. Palmer Luckey, the creator of Oculus Rift, is not your typical nerd.
God.
He's cheery and talks in normal sentences that are easy to understand.
Oh my God.
That's not real. That's not real.
that's an actual sentence from the article. He was homeschooled, and though he did drop out of college, it was California State University, Long Beach, where he was majoring not in computer science but in journalism. He prefers shorts, and his feet are black because he doesn't like wearing shoes, even outdoors. He doesn't look like a guy who played Dungeons & Dragons so much as a character in Dungeons & Dragons.
What?
He's a nerd from a different century working on the problems of a different century. Wow.
That writing is terrible. Time magazine is really falling. What?
Just wow. But people are going to read this. That's the problem. Oh. Yeah, I honestly don't know why this happened.
Like, It is honestly depressing. Like, memes and all, it's great, but it's kind of sad. I'm like, yep. I mean, this is not only is VR not only like revolutionary for video games. It's just, I mean, think about, you know, the hands-on experience you might have as far as a workplace or maybe being able to travel countries and be able to kind of walk around and
wider applications than just.
Oh yeah, there's so many other wider applications, and this one thing kind of just like, wow, this is what they think of this. It's like, oh, yes. It's a bunch of nerds hanging around alone in their basement, like fantasizing about things that, you know, they'll never accomplish or whatever. I don't know, but yeah, just
So that's the news, unless you guys got anything else.
That's it.
Did anybody upgrade to Windows 10?
I did.
No. My computer keeps telling me to do it though. There's a little
icon
that tells me to
really
do it.
Great.
Yeah, I like it. I upgraded my desktop and my laptop.
I think my computer would explode if I tried to do anything to it at all right now.
Tony, you said you used Microsoft Edge.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
You do?
Yeah, it's a lot better than Chrome. It uses like it uses memory a lot better. Oh. Plus the.
It looks clean.
It is. It's very clean, and like if you shut it down, I think this is my favorite feature. If you shut it down, it and open it again, it'll have all the windows you had open before, except it won't load them.
Okay, so you can just like
click on them and get the ones that you want.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to spending like half an hour loading the entire thing.
Instead of like restoring or whatever. Yeah. I might have to.
I have not tried the Xbox One to PC streaming yet. I should do that at some point. Give that a go.
Yeah. I tried like, you know, because you can. I guess sign on to like your. It's like an Xbox app essentially, I guess. So pretty neat. You know, everything's starting to feel more connected.
Yeah, and I guess Don said we're gonna get Windows 10 on Xbox this fall.
Right.
So that'll be nice. Get everything connected. Get a new dashboard update. Make it look a little better. Maybe make it work a little. Not blockiness.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. But anything coming out next week? Or are we still?
We're waiting for
Jeff and I'll just continue to play Rare.
I'll be coming out as a huge Rare Replay fan.
I think you already have. I'm going to try and play Submerged. That game comes out tomorrow. I don't know if you guys have looked into that. It's one of the spotlight games for the month. It looks like a kind of like an adventure platforming game.
Ooh.
So, I might try that. And Tony will continue to shoot tanks.
That's right. There'll be lots of shooting of tanks.
Maybe try
I'll
some more Elder Scrolls.
I'll be working.
Fozzie will be working. He will update us on his work.
All right.
We're very quickly coming into game season, though, so we're all going to have stuff to play soon.
Except Fozzie, he'll be working.
He'll work.
Fozzie's gonna take some time to play Metal Gear Solid 5, though.
Always, every day, all day. That reminds me, I got canceled one of my Metal Gear Solid 5s. I bought both collector's editions on the PS4 and Xbox. I really don't want that shipped. Oh, God.
What have I done?
Yes. I probably should. Unless someone wants one of them, but.
Just throwing it out there.
Please buy it from me.
Yeah, if you're watching this, or if you're listening to this, and I know you, you want it.
I know you. Alright. We'll be back next week, though, talking about God knows what. Fozzie, say goodnight.
Hey, goodnight.